Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. ChooseWood.com.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is St. Louis on the Air.
I'm Elaine Cha. Take a walk down Cherokee Street over the next week and peer into the Luminary Art Space. From there, you'll see several white columns hanging, with one quite markedly askance from ceiling to floor. And when you step inside the gallery, what awaits is NWL, Nice White Ladies, an exhibition that utilizes a mix of photos and sculpture to explore white women's role in upholding white supremacy and in taking it apart. Here to talk with us about NWL and how it's come to St. Louis is Kelly Kristen Jones. Jones is the Chicago-based artist behind the exhibition, which is showing at the Luminary on Cherokee Street until December 10th. Welcome to St. Louis on the Air, Kelly.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So tell us how Nice White Ladies as a concept got its start for you.
Well, I usually introduce myself as a photographer, despite the fact that in recent years I've really tended to collect more images than make. But whatever the final result, I have always been really passionate at sort of picking at ideas around identity, specifically gender and race. And photos have so influenced how we tell stories about who we are, who we are not. I think from the very beginning, photography has been used and misused to really insist on a particular kind of truth. And I'm doing major air quotes around that word. And so I'm really interested in the storytellers, this idea or this question of the storytellers versus the story. And so for the past 7 or 8 years, I've been particularly interested in how race is sort of symbolized or how it plays out in space, in public and private spaces, which ultimately led me to ideas around, who is making these spaces, who is making the domestic spaces and these civic and public park spaces, and landed on white women like me, who are really promoting what stories are told and who is present in all of these spaces.
Had you decided before you got to the Luminary that you wanted there to be a showing of NWL here in St. Louis? How did the St. Louis part of this come to be?
Absolutely. I mean, I think this is a conversation and perhaps a kind of exhibition that ought to occur anywhere. I mean, this is not something specific to St. Louis or Chicago, where I'm speaking to you from, but it's very much present in both of these cities. There's a long history across the U.S. Of white women's role in white supremacy. And I think too often, and I say this as a Midwesterner born and raised in Chicago, too often we think this is perhaps a Southern issue or someone else's issue. It's very much in my backyard here in Chicago. And so it was really important to me that this take place in the Midwest. St. Louis was the perfect place to begin this conversation and start to learn about how we might continue to explore these questions and reconsider the messaging that is everywhere in our country.
When did you know that NWL, that it needed to be or become an exhibition all its own?
That's a great question. And I think this is absolutely the result of conversations, really rich and sometimes hard conversations, with the two curators of the show. So that's Stephanie Koch and Simon Wu. So the Racial Imaginary Institute is this interdisciplinary collective that Simon Wu is a part of. And they've, you know, had an ongoing sort of conversation around this idea of whiteness, of exploring whiteness, in particular as part of an art exhibition at the Luminary. They reached out to me. We had some really great conversations. And they offered me the space to explore this idea of nice white ladies, of white women and the role that white women have always played in white supremacy. So yeah, it's, you know, from the very beginning, it was an opportunity to try new things, to ask some hard questions perhaps, or certainly some uncomfortable questions, and to really invite viewers to consider some of these things.
Kelly, can you take us on kind of an aural tour of NWL? Can you describe for our listeners what they might see as they walk around the Luminary to view your work?
Absolutely. The Luminary is a very large art space. So you walk into the front doors. There are large floor-to-ceiling windows that sort of open up on the front half of the exhibition, which features a site-specific installation, stacks of large neoclassical urn planters suspended or going from ceiling to floor, a cluster of these that start to kind of resemble columns, white Grecian columns that are found in both domestic and civic and cultural spaces. There are a number of black and white photographs on either side of these columns. And as you continue back through the space, there are a number of different bodies of work that all address questions around race specific to white women. But also photography. There's a lot to do with the history of photography, the language of photography. You'll see dodging tools. These are tools that are used in the traditional black and white darkroom, used to manipulate a print. They're featured in the front half of the exhibition. You'll see images that I've collected from magazines and catalogs that I've scanned and enlarged to very large sizes. Some prints are nearly 6 feet tall. In the back of the space, as you turn the corner, you'll enter Gallery B that features all black and white photographs. These are images, for the most part, that I have made at night, photographing racist objects that are in domestic spaces. I'm sometimes crawling into private spaces, trespassing to cover up objects in front on the, you know, side gardens and in the fronts of homes, and then photograph. And you'll also see some collected images of monuments across the Midwest, including St. Louis, that I've edited and featured on a back wall that is painted black. So there's a lot. There are both color and black and white images. But also some objects as part of the show.
In your description, you were talking about that dodging tool component. Yeah. One of the visitors to the exhibition was Rachel Anders, and she is a community member. Rachel talked about the parallels that she sees between her work in nonprofit fundraising and the dodging tool installation. Here is what Rachel shared with producer Avery Rogers.
In these photographs, she has black and white photographs of cultural or historic monuments or displays, and then they're covered by big white blocks. This installation especially unlocked for me. I work in philanthropy, so a lot of our cultural institutions are made possible through this very old-fashioned world of fundraising and whiteness and power. So to have these like big blocks over these public images, I think makes explicit what the power structures that are normally sort of behind the scenes, I think is really cool.
So those observations by Rachel Anders, who went to go see your exhibition, Kelly, do Rachel's observations about dodging tool align with what you are hoping to evoke or even provoke with NWL as a whole?
Absolutely. I mean, these dodging tools reference the tools used in the darkroom. I'm misusing these tools by taking them out onto the landscape, holding them in front of contested monuments and civic spaces. But these cut pieces of cardboard are white. They're colored white. And I want that to certainly reference these white spaces, these spaces that for so long, forever, have been promoted and protected by white folks and by white women in particular. I mean, I think we often like to make white supremacy this testosterone-fueled, like, masculine expression, but it's absolutely just as likely to wear heels. You know, it's very much a white part of white women's history and power and privilege. And we do this in a number of different ways.
We are talking with Chicago-based artist Kelly Kristen Jones, whose exhibition NWL, an acronym for Nice White Ladies, is up now through December 10th at the Luminary. Kelly, what are some of the ways that people might be upholding white supremacy without even realizing what they're doing?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, white women certainly benefit from white supremacy. We have this kind of dual status, right? We benefit, but we're also victims. And so it's a complicated conversation. I'm not necessarily offering up answers or solutions. My hope with this show is to have more conversations with folks like Rachel. I appreciate, you know, a larger community-based conversation. I think whiteness is often this kind of unquestioned or even unobserved power. And so my hope is to join with other artists and poets, neighbors, writers, to make visible this really dangerous ideology and power that has been very strategically, you know, very intentionally positioned as neutral or as default. Mm-hmm. So again, because my background is in photography, I'm looking at print media, I'm looking at ad images. There's one piece in the show that it's called True Match. It's a very large scale print made from a scan of a makeup foundation sampler swatch that I received in the mail. This swatch sort of offered up this idea that there are 10 sort of shades of skin tone, and from these 10, all very pale, I might add, you will find your own true match, your perfect skin tone match. I mean, this is a way, perhaps subtle, that this idea of paleness as beauty, Eurocentric attributes as being beautiful, as being the goal, I mean, this is promoting white supremacy all around. The images in, you know, home decor catalogs that reference these Greco-Roman sorts of decor items, I mean, that too promotes a very specific kind of story, a very specific kind of aesthetic that has deep roots, at least in this country and how it's used here, in white supremacy. And so it's all around. So the show is really sort of scratching at a lot of the different ways that whiteness, white supremacy surrounds us and really overwhelms so much of what we see and where we walk and where we work and how we're educated. And my hope is that, you know, in the mix, sort of being hit on all sides, we might begin to kind of reassess our culture and our spaces, both public and private.
Mm-hmm. And how has reception been for Nice White Ladies and WL, not just here in St. Louis, but elsewhere?
You know, I think it's sometimes a scary thing to talk about race in an art space. I've had really great reception from a lot of folks. I think there's been a little bit of hesitation, you know, at the outset, but once folks have the courage to kind of dig in and talk about it with me, with the curators, with the wonderful staff at the Luminary, it's resulted in some really great, really honest conversation. So I'm really thankful for it. The other really wonderful thing that the Luminary has offered is, you know, the space also holds a bookshop called Know How, and they have a selection of books, anti-racist books, that I've used throughout kind of the creation of this exhibition. And so people have really responded well to that as another way to kind of dig in and think about some of these questions, even outside of the gallery space and even beyond this exhibition run.
As an artist, is there something in particular that you would like to say to young and emerging artists who similarly want to scratch maybe in some of the ways that you have, and perhaps in ways that you might not be positioned to do?
I think it's really important to create community, trusted community within which you can be really vulnerable. I've been so lucky to have Stephanie, one of the curators of the show, as part of a close group of people who are willing to talk about this with me. And so finding folks to, you know, to offer up real critique of your work, offer up honest response, has been critical to not only my art practice, but my own, you know, kind of education as someone who might sometimes, you know, be accused of being a nice white lady. So yeah, it's really important to continue to make the work, continue to push, but also continue to find folks that, you know, you can have real conversation with around all these things. Mm-hmm. They're hard things, they're complicated, it's murky, but having some, you know, having a trusted few has been really important for me.
When it comes to the way that the exhibition is going to wrap, it is closing on December 10th, and you will be having a conversation with the Luminary's interim executive director, whom you've mentioned, Stephanie Koch. What is it that you hope to see happen with that, that makes it something more than just sort of a typical bookend to an exhibition?
I appreciate that. I appreciate that question. You know, I consider what I'm doing to be a feminist revisionist action. And my hope, ultimately, for the resulting photographs or objects or exhibitions is that they might allow place for other stories, for other histories. My hope for this artist talk is that even this time together at the Luminary might offer up a kind of space for other ways of telling and other kinds of looking. I wholly recognize that I have my own very privileged and particular kind of viewpoint. And so I just hope this is a jumping off point for more and other ways.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Kelly. This has been a fantastic conversation.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate your time.
Today's episode was produced by Emily Woodbury with audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our production intern is Avery Rogers. Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Our podcast proudly supports St. Louis artists by using music from Life Creative Group.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. ChooseWood.com.